A person needs to live a faithful life in front of God. If you want change in the world as a believer, you need to start with yourself.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
This episode is titled, Christians Are the Light.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
As a Christian, you have a major role in the influence of the world. The world can actually be divided up into two kinds of people. The first are the believers who in the Beatitudes are called blessed because they are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit. And of course, the second group consists of the unbelieving. And these people are proud, they're self-sufficient, and they don't understand their own unrighteousness before a holy God. Getting back to the first group of people, the believers, who are blessed because they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 through 12, we read, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you." See, the true blessing that the Beatitudes is referring to is the relationship that we gain with God through obedience in His Word. When we show the world a righteous example of Christ through our lives and the way we live it, we are being blessed, because our relationship with God is being strengthened. As a Christian, it's not what you have that makes a difference in the world, but it is what you are that makes the difference. See, Jesus refers to us as the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden." Jesus is referring to us as the beacon of hope to humanity. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, God calls people to come to Him, and He uses Christians as that light and as the salt. See, salt can be used for many things. One of them is an antibiotic. When you pour salt on a wound, it's going to cleanse it, but it's also going to hurt it. And as Christians, we can sometimes rub the unbeliever wrong. In most cases, we rub the unbeliever in a wrong way. But that's because they have not accepted the way of Jesus Christ. And so when we pour the salt of Jesus, into the wounds of sin, into the unbeliever, we witness something similar as salt being poured onto a wound. Could you imagine for a moment if the world had no Christians in it? What good would there be? Christians act as a barrier, as the salt. Christians help prevent corruption in the world. Now, is there still corruption in the world? Of course there is. But if there were more Christians in the world, there would be less corruption. And as light, we expose the evil deeds. You need light to see in the dark. And if there were no Christians, nobody would even know what good was. There would be no example of it. Are you living a life that is salty to the unbeliever and to other Christians as well? And are you living a Christian life which has a light that shines so brightly that the people around you are illuminated and that the evil deeds that others do are exposed through the light that you allow God to shine through your life? Are you living that kind of a life today? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is a powerful verse because Peter is saying here that through the promises of God, delivered by Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross, and through the Holy Spirit's strength, we are now able to participate in God's very own divine nature. And in the process, we are given an escape route from the corruption in this world. And we have an advocate when we have a temptation to succumb to evil desires. Because of Jesus Christ, believers are no longer fornicators. We are no longer idolaters, nor adulterers. We no longer abuse. We no longer steal. We overcome sinful desires. This doesn't happen overnight. It happens through reading the Word of God. It happens through talking to God. It happens through spending time with the Lord in fellowship with other believers. But because of what God has done, we don't have to be these things no longer. We can be a light and we can be a salt to the world. We have the tools. The tools are the Holy Spirit. And we fuel that Holy Spirit through the Word of God, the Holy Bible. As a believer today, I implore you, pick your Bible up daily and don't just merely read it, but inhale it, devour it. The Holy Bible is the believer's main tool. The Holy Bible will fuel the Holy Spirit within you. It will arm the mind so that when the devil comes with his temptations, you can overcome them through Scripture. You know, the Lord says to meditate on his word night and day because you are being bombarded night and day by the enemy. The devil never sleeps. He's always lying in wait. The Scripture says that he roams around like a lion and he's looking for somebody that he can devour. Will it be you? Not if you have the Holy Spirit fueled with the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, following Jesus is a serious business. If God wanted the same place that he has here on the planet Earth, Jesus would never have had to die. Why would God let any of these people into his kingdom? But there are people out there, including preachers, who will tell you that God will let these people in. Do you not know that part of being a Christian is repentance? It's not just about saying, I believe Jesus died for my sins. It's about believing the whole entire Bible. You can't take part of it and say, well, I want to believe this part, but this part I'm not so sure about. No, you can't live your life like that, because faith has nothing to do with an internal belief of something. Because if you don't live it externally, you really aren't believing it on the inside. Because if you believe something, you will do it. And God says that if you believe my word, then you will turn from these sins. The gospel clearly teaches that a person has to repent from the sins that he is doing. Now, I know that there are sins out there, such as smoking and drinking and drugs, that a person just cannot drop cold turkey. But I can tell you this. The more you fuel the Holy Spirit with the Word of God, the more you meditate, the more you talk to God through prayer, the more resistant you become, the more the flesh will die to itself and give the Holy Spirit its way. A person needs to surrender to God. A person needs to live a faithful life in front of God. If you want change in the world as a believer, you need to start with yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good? Are you eager to do what is good? Are you eager to expose what is not good in the surroundings of your life? Are you eager to add salt through your life to others who are doing corrupt things? Are you living that kind of a Christian life today? Think for a moment. The Beatitude uses the word blessed over and over. But do you know what the word bless actually means? It means not only indwelt by God because of Christ, but also being satisfied fully. It means to have obtained peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Did you know that the believer is more fulfilled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ within him than if he had all of the possessions of the world? Matthew 16:26, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? You can look around in your world today and you can see many people who are materialistically doing good. They have made it financially. But ask yourself this, and I don't mean in a judging way, but are those people saved through Jesus Christ? Does their life show a life of saltiness of the Holy Spirit? Does it show an illuminating light of the Holy Spirit? Do they live a Christian life? If they don't have God, their possessions will do them no good on Judgment Day. They can't buy themselves out of hell. And they cannot buy themselves into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The only way that you can come to God is through Jesus Christ. And once you are a believer, once you are in the family of God, it is your turn to lead somebody else to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the way you live your life. And that is by being the salt and the light. Now see, there's some people out there who go to work and they never even tell anybody that they're a Christian. In fact, nobody would even know they were a Christian unless they ran into them on Sunday morning at church. And why is that? Well, some people tell me it's because they don't want to offend anybody. This past Christmas, I picked my son up early from school, and he was having a Christmas party at the time that I picked him up. And he got presents, and one of the presents wrappings said, "Jesus loves you." And I looked at one of the teachers there referring to the packaging, and I said, "Wow. This is unusual. Jesus on school property." This employee told me that they were not allowed to talk about Jesus on school property as an employee of the school system, that it was forbidden. Why? Because it might offend somebody. If asked about Christmas, they could tell a student the origins only pertaining to the historical facts, but they could not talk about Jesus out of the context of a learning lesson, because they might offend somebody. Ever noticed how no one's ever concerned about offending Christians? You know what I did? I stood there and I talked about Jesus. Are you in an environment right now where it is offensive to talk about Jesus? Are you keeping quiet because you might offend somebody? You know, Jesus offended many people, but he had a job to do. And if you see somebody who is asking you about God, if you see somebody and there is a door of opportunity to talk about God, don't worry about who's around. Don't worry about who's listening. You do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Because I'll tell you something, in the end of your life, you won't be answering to the people that you offended. You'll be answering to God. And God is the last person you want to offend. But more than that, this is a relationship with God. Would you offend your best friend by denying them to others? What an insult. Imagine for a moment if you were invited into a family, and imagine for a moment if somebody in that family denied you to somebody on the outside. Imagine that for a moment, because that's exactly how it is to God. See, a relationship with God is that of a family. When you come to Jesus Christ, you are born into the family of God, and now God himself is your father. Would you deny your biological earthly father to somebody here on this planet? Would you deny your father the things that he deserves, the things that he desires, because you might offend somebody? Your earthly father, I'm talking about. If you wouldn't do that to your own earthly father, why would you do that to your heavenly father, who is all holy? As we live our lives in front of other people, we have to live it in front of God before we live it in front of man. What I mean by that is that you can hide things from people, but you can't hide anything from God. You so much as think something, and God knows what you're thinking. And when we live our lives in front of people, we have to be content with what God has given us. Because did you know that the unbelievers are watching you at all times? And if they see a believer who is content despite poverty and physical suffering, the unbelievers are amazed. Now, they might verbally say something to you like, "Man, you're crazy. I can't believe that you're so happy and you are so poor." Unbelievers are simply amazed. And I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not trying to boast here, but this is a great example. I had a coworker once who I tried to reach with the gospel of Christ, and every once in a while, he would bring up the subject of God, and we would talk about it, and he would quickly be offended because he was feeling the salt. And the last day that I worked there, he came up to me and he said, "I don't believe anything you have to say about God. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in this Jesus fellow." Not in the sense that he was God. This is what he told me. "But I will tell you this. I watched you day after day, and you never wavered from your belief. And I gotta hand it to you. Because you stood by what you believed. And that gets me thinking, what if?" Now, you see, my example to him sparked a thought of interest in God. because this man couldn't understand how I, on a daily basis, stood by my beliefs in God. And at the time that I was working there, I was going through a desperate time. I was in immense poverty. The job that I had was not paying the bills, but God was providing through other means. And nobody in the office could understand, knowing my income level and knowing my situation, how I was doing it. In Revelations chapter 3, verse 17, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You know, when you stand in front of God, you're going to see how little you are. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anybody, but in comparison to God, you're not holy, you're not righteous, you don't have anything to offer Him. How are you going to buy your way out of this one? Because without a relationship with God through His Son Jesus Christ, without the forgiveness of sins that you've committed through the payment of Jesus Christ as a sacrifice, how are you going to make amends with God? You can't. You have nothing to offer God on the day of judgment. You could say you're rich. You could say you acquired wealth. And you could say you don't need anything. But when you face God, your money's not going to save you, because you will be wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Naked because you will not be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus covers our sins as Christians. And as believers, we should be living our life that shows that fact. Now, as a believer, you're here on earth, and God wants to work through you. And in order to work through you, you have to interact in this world of corruption. If you avoid every unbeliever you see, you're never going to make a difference in the world. You know, salt comes from the earth. And guess what? You as a human being, you were made from the earth. You come from the earth too. Don't forget that. And if you're salt of the earth, then you need to apply yourself to the world in order to make a difference. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. You know, because Jesus Christ lives in you, you have the light. In John chapter 8, 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The only light that you can give the world is the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the illumination that the world needs, and Jesus wants to shine through your life today. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When your light shines, God should get all the praise. And of course, in the end days, when Jesus returns, we will all have that light. The whole entire universe will be illuminated with Jesus' light. In John 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. There's going to come a day, folks, when Jesus comes back, and He is going to lift His church up with Him. And each and every one of us is going to be filled with such an intense light that the entire known universe and beyond will be illuminated, and God will have His perfect kingdom established on earth. It's a choice, my friends. It's a choice. You don't have to come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to live an obedient life. but in the end of days, when Jesus returns, if you have not done so, you will be left behind. And God doesn't want that. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. Jesus came to save it. If you're listening today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I invite you right now to bow your head and say this prayer. God, I am a sinner, and I turn from my sins today, and I face you, and I ask you for the forgiveness of my sins through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me, who died for the whole world. I accept this free gift, God, through belief and not through works. I believe that Jesus died for my sins, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Help me, Lord, to live a righteous life through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. We have every episode of A Word from God archived online where you can easily listen to them. You can also subscribe to our feed and download the MP3 versions of A Word from God to enjoy at any time. There's even a section online that explains salvation. And if you know someone who isn't saved and wants to know more, just send them a link to the website. You just might be saving their eternal life by doing so. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.